Mahaparinibbana Sutta, The Buddha's Final Nibbana, translated by Rupert Gethin. First section for recitation. This is what I have heard. Once the Blessed One was staying at Rajagaha on the mountain called Vulture's Peak. Now at that time, King Ajatasattu of Magadha, son of the princess of Vidaha, wishing to wage war on the Vajis, declared, I will attack those powerful and mighty Vajis. I will cut them down. I will destroy them. I will bring about their ruin and devastation. So King Ajatasattu of Magadha spoke to the Brahmin Vasakara, his chief minister. Brahmin, go to the Blessed One, and having approached him, bow down at his feet with your head, in my name, and ask if he is free of sickness and disease, if he is in good health and strong, if he lives at ease, saying, Sir, King Ajatasattu of Magadha bows down at your feet with his head, and asks if you are free of sickness and disease, if you are in good health and strong, if you live at ease. And then say, Sir, King Ajatasattu of Magadha wishes to wage war on the Vajis. He has declared that he will attack the powerful and mighty Vajis, that he will cut them down, that he will destroy them, that he will bring about their ruin and devastation. Then you should note carefully what the Blessed One says in response, and come and tell me, for the Tathagatas do not speak what is untrue. Yes, my lord, replied the Brahmin, Vasakara, the chief minister of Magadha. And then he had the best carriages harnessed, and mounting one, he drove out of Rajagaha in a cortege of carriages, and set off for Vulture's Peak. When he had gone by carriage as far as the ground would allow, he dismounted and approached the Blessed One on foot. Having approached, he saluted the Blessed One respectfully and exchanged pleasing and polite words with him before sitting down to one side. Once seated, he said to the Blessed One, Gotama, sir, King Ajatasattu of Magadha bows down at your feet with his head and asks if you are free of sickness and disease, if you are in good health and strong, if you live at ease. Gotama, sir, King Ajatasattu of Magadha wishes to wage war on the Vajis. He has declared that he will attack the powerful and mighty Vajis, that he will cut them down, that he will destroy them, that he will bring about their ruin and devastation. Now at that time, the Venerable Ananda was standing behind the Blessed One, fanning him. And the Blessed One spoke to him, Ananda, have you heard that the Vajis meet together frequently and regularly?
I have heard this, sir.
Ananda, as long as the Vajis continue to meet together frequently and regularly, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. Ananda, have you heard that the Vajis sit down together in concord, get up together in concord, and conduct their business in concord?
I have heard this, sir.
Ananda, as long as the Vajis continue to sit down together in concord, to get up together in concord, and to conduct their business in concord, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. Ananda, have you heard that the Vajis do not make pronouncements that have not been agreed, do not revoke pronouncements that have been agreed, but proceed in accordance with the ancient laws of the Vajis that are agreed pronouncements?
I have heard this, sir.
Ananda, as long as the Vajis continue not to make pronouncements that have not been agreed, not to revoke pronouncements that have been agreed, but to proceed in accordance with the ancient laws of the Vajis that are agreed pronouncements, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. Ananda, have you heard that the Vajis respect, honour, revere, and worship those among them who are their elders, and that they listen to what they say. I have heard this, sir.
Ananda, as long as the Vajis continue to respect, honour, revere and worship those among them who are their elders, and to listen to what they say, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline.
Ananda, have you heard that the Vajis do not abduct and force women and girls of good family into sexual relations?
I have heard this, sir.
Ananda, as long as the Vajis continue not to abduct and force women and girls of good family into sexual relations, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline.
Ananda, have you heard that the Vajis respect, honour, revere and worship their ancestral shrines, both those that are central and those that are outlying, and do not neglect the appropriate offerings that were given and made in the past?
I have heard this, sir.
Ananda, as long as the Vajis continue to respect, honour, revere and worship their ancestral shrines, both those that are central and those that are outlying, and not to neglect the appropriate offerings that were given and made in the past, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline.
Ananda, have you heard that the Vajis provide holy men with proper care, protection and guard, such that those who have not come to their realm are encouraged to come, and those that have come live easily?
I have heard this, sir.
Ananda, as long as the Vajis continue to provide holy men with proper care, protection and guard, such that those who have not come to their realm are encouraged to come, and those that have come live easily, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline.
Then the Blessed One spoke to the Brahman Vasakara, the chief minister of Magadha.
Once, Brahman, when I was staying in Vaisali at the shrine of Sarandada, I taught the Vajis these seven principles for avoiding decline. And as long as these seven principles remain established among the Vajis, as long as they abide by them, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. At this, the Brahman Vasakara, the chief minister of Magadha, said to the Blessed One, Gotama, sir, if the Vajis keep to any one of these seven principles for avoiding decline, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. Never mind seven principles for avoiding decline. Clearly, King Ajatasattu of Magadha, son of the princess Vidaha, will not overcome the Vajis in war without some intrigue, without creating dissension among them. And now, Gotama, sir, I should be going. I have much to do and many duties.
It is now time for you to do as you think fit.
Then the Brahman Vasakara, the chief minister of Magadha, having enjoyed and expressed his appreciation of what the Blessed One had said, got up from his seat and went away. Not long after the Brahman Vasakara had left, the Blessed One spoke to Ananda.
Ananda, go and assemble in the attendance house all the monks who are living in dependence on Rajagaha for alms.
Yes, sir, replied the Venerable Ananda to the Blessed One.
And when he had assembled in the attendance house all the monks who were living in dependence on Rajagaha for alms, he approached the Blessed One, saluted him respectfully, and stood to one side. Standing there, he said to the Blessed One, Sir, the community of monks have assembled. It is now time for you to do as you think fit.
Then the Blessed One got up from his seat and went to the attendance house and sat down on the prepared seat. When he was seated, he addressed the monks. Monks, I shall teach you seven principles for avoiding decline. Listen. Pay careful attention to what I shall say.
Yes, sir, replied those monks to the Blessed One.
This is what the Blessed One said.
Monks, as long as monks continue to meet together frequently and regularly, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. As long as monks continue to sit down together in concord, to get up together in concord, and to conduct the business of the community in concord, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. As long as monks continue not to make pronouncements that have not been agreed, not to revoke pronouncements that have been agreed, but to proceed in accordance with the precepts that are agreed pronouncements, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. As long as monks continue to respect, honour, revere, and worship those monks who are elders, possess the pearls of wisdom, went forth into the religious life long ago, are the fathers and leaders of the community, and to listen to what they say, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. As long as monks are not overcome by the kind of craving that leads to rebirth when that arises, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. As long as monks continue to have regard for living in the forest, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. As long as monks individually continue to establish mindfulness, such that well-behaved companions in the spiritual life who have not come are encouraged to come, and those that have come live easily, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. Monks, as long as these seven principles remain established among monks, as long as they abide by them, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. Monks, I shall teach you seven further principles for avoiding decline. Listen, pay careful attention to what I shall say. Yes, sir, replied those monks to the Blessed One. This is what the Blessed One said. Monks, as long as monks do not become attracted to doing things, enamoured of doing things, preoccupied with the pleasure of doing things, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. As long as monks do not become attracted to conversation, enamoured of conversation, preoccupied with the pleasure of conversation, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. As long as monks do not become attracted to sleep, enamoured of sleep, preoccupied with the pleasure of sleep, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. As long as monks do not become attracted to company, enamoured of company, preoccupied with the pleasure of company, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. As long as monks do not have harmful desires, are not overcome by harmful desires, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. As long as monks do not have bad friends, bad companions, bad associates, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. As long as monks do not give up halfway with some inferior achievement, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. Monks, as long as these seven principles remain established among monks, as long as they abide by them, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. Monks, I shall teach you seven further principles for avoiding decline. Listen, pay careful attention to what I shall say. Yes, sir, replied those monks to the Blessed One. This is what the Blessed One said. Monks, as long as monks continue to have faith, self-respect, and conscience, to be learned, to put forth energy, to maintain mindfulness, to be wise, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. Monks, as long as these seven principles remain established among monks, as long as they abide by them, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. Monks, I shall teach you seven further principles for avoiding decline. Listen, pay careful attention to what I shall say. Yes, sir, replied those monks to the Blessed One. This is what the Blessed One said. Monks, As long as monks continue to cultivate the constituent of awakening that is mindfulness, the constituent of awakening that is investigation of qualities, the constituent of awakening that is energy, the constituent of awakening that is joy, the constituent of awakening that is tranquility, the constituent of awakening that is concentration, the constituent of awakening that is equanimity, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. Monks, as long as these seven principles remain established among monks, as long as they abide by them, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. Monks, I shall teach you seven further principles for avoiding decline. Listen. Pay careful attention to what I shall say. Yes, sir, replied those monks to the Blessed One. This is what the Blessed One said. Monks, as long as monks continue to cultivate the notion of impermanence, the notion of not self, the notion of ugliness, the notion of danger, the notion of abandoning, the notion of dispassion, the notion of cessation, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. Monks, as long as these seven principles remain established among monks, as long as they abide by them, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. Monks, I shall teach you six further principles for avoiding decline. Listen. Pay careful attention to what I shall say. Yes, sir, replied those monks to the Blessed One. This is what the Blessed One said. Monks, as long as monks continue to show friendliness to their companions in the spiritual life, in their acts of body, both in their presence and in private, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. As long as monks continue to show friendliness to their companions in the spiritual life, in their acts of speech, both in their presence and in private, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. As long as monks continue to show friendliness to their companions in the spiritual life, in their acts of thought, both in their presence and in private, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. As long as monks continue to use their rightful possessions, rightfully obtained, impartially, right down to the portion of food contained in an alms bowl, and to share those in common with their virtuous companions in the spiritual life, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. As long as monks continue to live both in the presence of their companions in the spiritual life and in private, committed to the same ways of good conduct, ways of conduct of the kind that are unbroken, without defect, unblemished, without flaw, clear, praised by the discerning, untarnished, conducive to concentration, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. As long as monks continue to live both in the presence of their companions in the spiritual life and in private, committed to the same vision, the kind of vision that is noble, to do with release, which brings with it the release of the complete destruction of suffering, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. Monks, as long as these six principles remain established among monks, as long as they abide by them, then they can be expected to prosper, not to decline. Now, while he was staying in Rajagaha on Vulture's Peak, the Blessed One talked to the monks a lot about the teaching in these terms. He explained how it is with good conduct, how it is with concentration, how it is with wisdom, how concentration that is invested with good conduct is of great fruit and of great benefit, how wisdom that is invested with concentration is of great fruit and of great benefit, and how the mind that is invested with wisdom is fully released from the taints, namely the taint of sense desire, the taint of being, the taint of view, the taint of ignorance. Now when the Blessed One had stayed at Rajagaha as long as he wanted, he spoke to the Venerable Ananda. Come, Ananda, we shall move on to Ambalatika. Yes, sir, replied the Venerable Ananda to the Blessed One. Then the Blessed One made his way with a large community of monks to Ambalatthika, where he stayed in the royal rest house. Now while he was staying in Ambalatthika, in the royal house, the Blessed One talked to the monks a lot about the teaching in these terms. He explained how it is with good conduct, how it is with concentration, how it is with wisdom, how concentration that is invested with good conduct is of great fruit and of great benefit, how wisdom that is invested with concentration is of great fruit and of great benefit, and how the mind that is invested with wisdom is fully released from the taints, namely the taint of sense desire, the taint of being, the taint of view, the taint of ignorance. Now when the Blessed One had stayed at Ambalatthika as long as he wanted, he spoke to the Venerable Ananda. Come, Ananda, we shall move on to Nalanda. Yes, sir, replied the Venerable Ananda to the Blessed One. Then the Blessed One made his way with a large community of monks to Nalanda, where he stayed in Parvarika's mango grove. Then the Venerable Sariputta approached the Blessed One, and having saluted him respectfully, sat down to one side. Once seated, the Venerable Sariputta said to the Blessed One, Such is my confidence in the Blessed One, there has not been, there will not be, nor is there now another ascetic or Brahman any greater in knowledge than the Blessed One when it comes to perfect awakening. Fine and courageous are the words you have spoken, Sariputta. You have made a claim. You have roared the lion's roar when you say, Such is my confidence in the Blessed One. There has not been, there will not be, nor is there now another ascetic or Brahman greater in knowledge than the Blessed One when it comes to perfect awakening. Sariputta, the perfectly awakened arahats that existed in the past, do you know all these Blessed Ones, encompassing their minds with yours, such that you can say, Their conduct was like this, their practice like this, their wisdom like this, the way they lived like this, their freedom like this? Not this, sir. Then, Sariputta, the perfectly awakened arahats that will exist in the future, do you know all these Blessed Ones, encompassing their minds with yours, such that you can say, their conduct will be like this, their practice like this, their wisdom like this, the way they will live like this, their freedom like this? Not this, sir. But Sariputta, I am now a perfectly awakened arahat. Do you know me, encompassing my mind with yours such that you can say, His conduct is like this, his practice like this, his wisdom like this, the way he lives like this, his freedom like this? Not this, sir. Sariputta, in these matters you do not have knowledge that encompasses the minds of the perfectly awakened arahats of the past, present, and future. Then why have you spoken these fine and courageous words, Sariputta? Why have you made a claim? Why have you roared the lion's roar? Sir, I do not have knowledge that encompasses the minds of the perfectly awakened arahats of the past, present, and future. Nevertheless, the way of truth is known. It is as if, sir, a king had a town on his borders with strong foundations, walls and towers, and with a single gate. And at that gate there were a gatekeeper, experienced, clever and astute, who kept out those unknown to him and let in those he knew. And in following the path going right round the town, he might not see a crack in the walls, an opening in the walls, big enough for even a cat to squeeze through. And it might occur to him that all creatures of any size which come into or left the town did so only by the gate. Exactly so, sir, is the way of truth that I know. Whoever were perfectly awakened arahats in the past, all those blessed ones awakened to the highest perfect awakening by abandoning the five hindrances, which are defilements that weaken wisdom, And then, with their minds well established in the four ways of establishing mindfulness, by duly cultivating the seven constituents of awakening. Whoever will be perfectly awakened arahats in the future, all those blessed ones will awaken to the highest perfect awakening by abandoning the five hindrances, which are defilements that weaken wisdom. And then, with their minds well established in the four ways of establishing mindfulness, by duly cultivating the seven constituents of awakening. And, sir, the Blessed One, who is a perfectly awakened arahat now, awakened to the highest perfect awakening by abandoning the five hindrances, which are defilements that weaken wisdom, and then, with his mind well established in the four ways of establishing mindfulness, by duly cultivating the seven constituents of awakening. Now, while he was staying at Nalanda, in Parvarika's mango grove, the Blessed One talked to the monks a lot about the teaching in these terms. He explained how it is with good conduct, how it is with concentration, how it is with wisdom, how concentration that is invested with good conduct is of great fruit and of great benefit, how wisdom that is invested with concentration is of great fruit and great benefit, and how the mind that is invested with wisdom is fully released from the taints, namely the taint of sense desire, the taint of being, the taint of view, the taint of ignorance. Now when the Blessed One had stayed at Nalanda as long as he wanted, he spoke to the Venerable Ananda. "Come, Ananda, we shall move on to the village of Patali." "Yes, sir," replied the Venerable Ananda to the Blessed One. Then the Blessed One made his way with a large community of monks to the village of Patali. When the lay followers in Patali heard the news that the Blessed One had reached Patali, they approached the Blessed One, saluted him respectfully, and sat down to one side. Once seated, those lay followers said to the Blessed One, "May the Blessed One accept our invitation to stay in the rest house." By his silence, the Blessed One accepted. Understanding that he had accepted their invitation, the lay followers of Patali got up from their seats, respectfully saluted the Blessed One, and, keeping him on their right, went to the rest house. There they spread the rest house floor fully with a covering, prepared seats, brought a water pot, and raised an oil lamp. Then they approached the Blessed One, saluted him respectfully, and sat down to one side. Once seated, those lay followers said to the Blessed One, "The rest house floor is fully spread with a covering, the seats are prepared, a water pot has been brought, and an oil lamp raised. It is now time for you to do as you think fit." Then the Blessed One put on his outer robes and, taking his bowl, went to the rest house together with the community of monks. When he had had his feet washed on arrival, he entered the rest house and sat down facing east with his back to the central post. When the community of monks had had their feet washed, they too entered the rest house, where they sat down just behind the Blessed One, facing east, with their backs to the western wall. When the lay followers of Patali had had their feet washed, they too entered the rest house, where they sat down in front of the Blessed One, facing west, with their backs to the eastern wall. Then the Blessed One addressed the lay followers of Patali, "Householders, for someone who is without virtue, there are these five dangers in his failure in conduct." "What five?" "When someone is without virtue and fails in his conduct, he suffers great loss of wealth on account of his negligence. This is the first danger. Again, when someone is without virtue and fails in his conduct, his bad reputation spreads around. This is the second danger. Again, when someone is without virtue and fails in his conduct, whenever he enters an assembly, whether of rulers, Brahmins, householders or ascetics, he does so lacking confidence and nervously. This is the third danger. Again, when someone is without virtue and fails in his conduct, he dies troubled. This is the fourth danger. Again, when someone is without virtue and fails in his conduct, at the breaking up of the body, after death, he is reborn in a state of misfortune, an unhappy destiny, a state of affliction, hell. This is the fifth danger. These are the five dangers in his failure in conduct for someone who is without virtue. For someone who is virtuous, there are these five benefits of his success in conduct. What five? When someone is virtuous and succeeds in his conduct, he accumulates great wealth on account of his lack of negligence. This is the first benefit. Again, when someone is virtuous and succeeds in his conduct, his good reputation spreads around. This is the second benefit. Again, when someone is virtuous and succeeds in his conduct, whenever he enters an assembly, whether of rulers, Brahmins, householders, or ascetics, he does so with confidence and not nervously. This is the third benefit. Again, when someone is virtuous and succeeds in his conduct, he dies untroubled. This is the fourth benefit. Again, when someone is virtuous and succeeds in his conduct, at the breaking up of the body after death, he is reborn in a happy destiny, a heavenly world. This is the fifth benefit. These are the five benefits of his success in conduct for someone who is virtuous. And the Blessed One instructed the lay followers of Patali with talk about the teaching long into the night, encouraging, enthusing, and inspiring them. Then he let them go, saying, "It is well into the night. It is now time for you to do as you think fit." "Yes, sir," replied those lay followers to the Blessed One. Then, getting up from their seats, they respectfully saluted the Blessed One and, keeping him on their right, went away. Not long after they had left, the Blessed One retired to a deserted house. Now at that time, Sunita and Vasakara, chief ministers of Magadha, were building a city at the village of Patali as a defence against the Vajis, and deities were occupying the sites of Patali in their thousands. In those places where high-ranking deities occupied the sites, the high-ranking princes and ministers of the realm were inclined to build their houses. In those places where middle-ranking deities occupied the sites, the middle-ranking princes and ministers of the realm were inclined to build their houses. In those places where low-ranking deities occupied the sites, the low-ranking princes and ministers of the realm were inclined to build their houses. With his godlike vision that is purified, surpassing that of men, the Blessed One saw those deities occupying the sites of the village in their thousands. And when he had risen after the night at dawn, he asked Ananda, "Who was it that was building a city at Patali?" "Sir, Sunita and Vasakara, chief ministers of Magadha, are building a city at the village of Patali as a defence against the Vajis." "Ananda, it is as though they had taken the advice of the gods of the heaven of the 33 in building the city. With my godlike vision that is purified, surpassing that of men, I have seen deities occupying the sites of the village in their thousands. As far as the Aryan sphere extends, as far as merchants travel, this will be the chief city, Pataliputta, where the seed sacks are split open. But Pataliputta will suffer from three hazards, fire, water, and dissension among its people." Then Sunita and Vasakara, the chief ministers of Magadha, came to the Blessed One and saluted him respectfully, exchanging pleasing and polite words with him. Then, standing there, they said to him, "May Gotama, along with the community of monks, accept our invitation for today's meal." By his silence, the Blessed One accepted. Understanding that he had accepted their invitation, Sunita and Vasakara went to their own residence, where they had fine foods of different sorts prepared. Then they had the Blessed One informed, "It is time. The meal is ready." Then, early in the morning, the Blessed One put on his outer robes and, taking his bowl, went together with the community of monks to the residence of Sunita and Vasakara, where he sat down on the prepared seat. Then Sunita and Vasakara waited on the Blessed One and the community of monks, serving them with fine foods with their own hands. And when the Blessed One had finished eating and washed his hands and bowl, they brought a low seat and sat down to one side. When they had sat down, the Blessed One expressed his appreciation to them with these verses. "Having offered food to the virtuous and restrained practitioners of the spiritual life, in the place where he builds his home, the one who is wise should make an offering to the gods who may be there. When worshipped, they worship him. When revered, they revere him. And so they show concern for him as a mother for her own son. And with the concern of the gods, a man always sees good things." When the Blessed One had expressed his appreciation to Sunita and Vasakara with these verses, he got up from his seat and left. At that time, Sunita and Vasakara followed closely behind the Blessed One, thinking, "The gate by which the ascetic Gotama leaves, today we shall call Gotama Gate. And the crossing by which he crosses the river Ganges, we shall call Gotama Crossing. And the gate by which the Blessed One left, they called Gotama Gate." Then the Blessed One came to the river Ganges. At that time the Ganges was full, right up to the banks, so that crows could drink from it. And people who wanted to cross back and forth were looking for boats or dinghies, or were binding rafts. Then, just as a strong man might straighten his bent arm or bend his straightened arm, the Blessed One disappeared from the near shore of the Ganges and reappeared on the further shore, together with the community of monks. And the Blessed One saw the people who wanted to cross back and forth, looking for boats or dinghies or binding rafts. And the Blessed One, understanding the significance of this, immediately breathed a sigh. "Those who cross the ocean seas by making a bridge and avoiding the pools are the wise who have already crossed while people bind their raft."